Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Mulligans podcast with your host, Jackson Dibble and Todd McGill.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Mulligans podcast. I'm your host, Jackson Dibble.
And I'm Todd McGill.
Welcome, everybody. We missed you guys last week. Life got in the way last week. We had a lot of working and other sorts of things. Welcome. John Deere Classic this week. Let's talk a little bit about last week before we jump in to the John Deere. A little disclaimer, we're eating dinner right now because we're busy and we have stuff to do after this, so we have to eat dinner while we film.
Yeah, but we want to get an episode out, so.
Yeah, so you're welcome.
If you're munching, just, you know.
Ignore it.
Yeah.
We're eating New York strip steaks currently.
Because we're bougie.
Yeah, this is real bougie right here. Todd, start us off. Recap.
Cam Davis wins a 3-man playoff against Troy Merritt and Joaquin Neiman.
Joaquin.
Also, another disclaimer, I didn't actually watch any of the actual tournament. I did watch the playoff, and it pretty much, Cam Davis was pretty much in control of that entire playoff from the very first hole.
Fair enough.
I mean, he hit it to, what, like 6-7 feet off every, the first hole?
Like every time.
Joaquin Neiman, I mean, he was definitely the favorite going into that playoff by far.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But he's got to figure out how to perform under pressure. And, I mean, we've seen this happened to him multiple times this season when he gets under, you know, under the gun a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He just folds. Like his golf swing is just so feel based with how much, you know, when he comes down through impact, I mean, his entire body is dipping.
Yep.
And it's just, I don't, it's just really hard to control and
consistent. It's just like Matthew Wolf's swing.
Kind of.
Something like that. You're just something like that kind of swing. You're just not going to be able to keep up forever.
Right. Which the craziest part was that he went the entire week without a bogey.
Mm-hmm.
Like he played all 72 regulation holes without a bogey, and then bogeys the first playoff hole straight out of the gate.
It's a joke. Yeah, I mean, we don't like that word here, even though we use it frequently. Straight-up choke. I mean, it was.
It's just,
I think some people deserve a little bit of credit. Bubba Watson and Alex Noren had really good final rounds that day. Alex Noren had shot 8-under the last day.
Wow.
He got all the way up there.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. There was a lot of Cam Davis is one of my boys, but I was personally rooting for Troy because America. It was 4th of July. Hiccup.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we would have mentioned Troy Merritt had we done an episode.
No,
but
we would have mentioned Cam
and probably Joaquin, knowing me.
Yep.
So, shame. Yeah, I mean, I just.
We had to work last week, so.
I thought Merritt was definitely the worst out of the three, and he was going to have to pull something out.
I think Troy is going very under the radar this year. He's had a lot of good finishes this year.
True.
But what else you got for us? Anything?
So, this came out a couple of days before the Rocket Mortgage started. Bryson DeChambeau split with his caddy.
I've been thinking about how I should tweet at him.
Bryson?
Yeah. He's a caddy, man. I'm available.
You got some experience now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
I thought it was actually really funny just because I'm a child. And his caddy's name is Tom Tucker.
Tom Tucker.
Which, if anyone knows, that is the news anchor on Family Guy.
I have no
idea. Yeah, Tom Tucker. From what the reports I've read, it says that it was a mutual decision. But literally, I don't think Bryson talked about it one time in a press interview. Yeah. And
mutual my butt.
He played so bad the first two rounds, he didn't make the cut as a defending champion.
Yep, no.
And I don't think he talked in the media after either of those two rounds.
It wasn't mutual. There's no way.
Well, see, in other reports that I've seen, it said Bryson's been blindsided by it. Which, that to me, that seems more believable because...
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I bet his caddy left.
Yeah. I could totally see, you know, behind closed doors, I could definitely see DeChambeau being kind of a pain to work for.
Yeah, that's the PG version, to put it.
I mean, everybody knows in the spotlight how much of a perfectionist he is. Yeah. I could only imagine what it's like when he knows, you know, camera's not on him.
Oh, no, literally imagine being his caddy, like what you have to do to, like, service the needs that he wants to have.
Especially if they get rid of Green's books.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, he's going to be relying on his caddy even more if he doesn't have a book to read his greens like he's had for pretty much ever since he got on tour.
Yeah. Caddies usually make like 6 to 7% of winnings. I pray to God that DeChambeau offers at least 9% for how much crap he probably puts his caddies through.
That's fair. I mean, I wouldn't want to do it, I don't think.
Oh, I would do it.
I mean, if the money, well.
Yeah, no, I'd do it.
Money-wise, I would probably do it, but
if you're Bryson's, I would rather. Caddy making 9%, oh, you're probably making $400,000 or $500,000 a year. Easily.
If I had my rathers, though, I'd rather caddy for literally any other player on tour.
Oh, no, I 100% agree. But I'd still do it. And then Koepka posted on Twitter that him and his caddy are the best of friends right after that. Love to see it. Love to see the two still in the drama.
Yeah, the shots continue to be fired.
Yep. Anything else last week?
Nope.
All right, let's talk about John Deere. It's a pretty weak field. All honesty.
One of the weakest we've seen.
Yep. It's like Honda Classic week. And it's the week before the Open, though. So it's kind of important. But John Deere itself is a good tournament. Just, I think with the way everything's lining up, it's just not going to be. Like I said, the field is just not very good.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly what tours on the European swing this week, but I would assume.
Oh, all the big dogs are over there.
Yeah, I would assume most of the big players are not just taking this week off. They're just over there already trying to prepare and get used to, you know, the climate, the weather conditions, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, so let's start. We start with Tier A, FanDuel for everything. I got four guys in Tier A.
I got three.
All right, course is 7,258 yards long. It's TPC Deer Run. It's Bent Greens. So let's speak about it. My very first guy, Brian Harman, 11,700. He's probably the most expensive player I have this week. Brian Harman's probably having the best season he's had probably in, like, 6 years. I mean, he's having a really good season. And this course is pretty short. And he's made 19 out of 21 cuts this year. That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
And he seems to play pretty well on Bent Greens. Usually I talk about some course history and then talk about course comparisons. But this is such a weak field. I don't really think any of that matters too much this week. This is kind of a – you really got to dial down to the numbers this week to find who's just going to make it, I feel like.
Yeah, or just hold your nose and
Take a guess. Yeah, but I like Brian Harman a whole lot this week, especially with making 19 out of 21 cuts. I have – judging from his course history here that he's had, based on other courses that he's had on Bent Greens, I could see Brian Harman top 20 with ease, probably even a top 10. But you better get that if you're that kind of a price tag. So
yeah.
Give me one of yours.
So top for me is going a little further down than Brian Harman. It's Russell Henley at 11,500.
He has some good history here.
He does. And he's kind of – I mean, if you just look at the state of golf over the last month and a half or so, he's probably been knocking on the door almost as much as anybody.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But compared to, you know, how this field looks versus the fields that he's been contending in over the last couple months, I feel like this one's a heck of a lot easier to conquer, especially that, you know, like the U.S. Open field.
Oh, I agree. No, I 100% agree. It's like U.S. Open, you know, like Mackenzie Hughes getting paired with like such a big name player is very intimidating for those kind of guys.
Yeah.
So I think this week's a very, like, you know, if Kevin Streelman gets paired with Brian Harman or something, it's not going to be like, oh, that's not a good example. If, like, Aaron Wise gets paired with, like, Daniel Berger, that's probably the worst it's going to get.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, you're not really looking at a star-studded field even at the very top of this.
Yeah, I agree.
Board. But, I mean, like you said, he's got decent course history. He finished second in 2019, which is the last time they played this event due to it getting canceled last year because of COVID. And going all the way back to 2014, he's got a tied 27th. Stats-wise, he's 4th in strokes gained approach, 18th in greens and reg, 26th in strokes gained tee to green, and 29th in strokes gained total. So
He's a veteran on the tour. He knows how to handle himself and handle a course like this.
Right. And, I mean, like you just said with Brian Harman, he's got a high price tag, so
you better get
you're hoping for,
20.
Yeah, at least top 20.
You have to get that. For that kind of a price tag, you got to get all the way up there.
Yeah.
All right. My second highest guy I have is Kevin Streelman.
I got him.
11,300. I was curious. I was hoping you picked him, so curious what you think about him. 16 out of 23 cuts this year. Clearly plays almost three strokes better on courses that are under 7,300 yards. He's old. Older.
Yeah.
He doesn't hit it very far. So he kills on these little short courses, but I mean, he's playing on a few other bent greens this year. He played okay. He's got good course history here, but I don't think Kevin Streelman's due, but I do think he's going to continue his top 15 streaks he's seemed to be having.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of seems like a no-brainer, but also coming off a missed cut at the Travelers, which he contended at last season.
Yeah, that was a little scary.
It kind of makes me a little nervous, but, I mean, he does have good course history here. He finished tied 7th in 2018, and he also has a tied 8th all the way back in 2012. And like you just said, he was on a really good stretch of golf before the Travelers. He finished tied 15th at the U.S. Open, tied 13th at the Memorial, tied 20th at Charles Schwab, tied 8th at PGA Championship. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully Travelers was just kind of an outlier and he can get back to cranking it inside the top 20.
If Kevin Streelman's in the field next week for the Open, I feel like he could be a very sneaky guy to talk about.
Yeah.
If he's in the field. I haven't looked at it yet. All right, give me one of yours.
So the last guy I've got in this tier, which this should be a notion of how weak this entire field is.
Oh, boy.
But it's Maverick McNealy.
Yeah, I thought about that.
10,600.
He loves the short courses.
He does love the short courses, and he's actually been playing pretty solid golf.
He's made his last three cuts, right?
He has. He finished tied 21st last week, tied 30th at the Travelers, and tied 20th at the Charles Schwab, where I think I picked him.
That's not just making cuts. That's playing well.
Yeah. And, yeah, I really don't have that much to say about him. I mean, there's really no point in looking at his stats because they're not great. He is 34th in birdie average and 41st in strokes gained off the tee.
That's just funny. There's no point in looking at him. He's just not good.
But. Well, just the stroke, yeah, the stats-wise, which is what I always hound on,
yeah,
is just not – they're just not there. Which,
they're not there.
But you can say that for pretty much 90% of the people in this field. So,
oh, for sure, yeah.
Him being 10,600, though –
that's pricey.
That is very pricey.
I think there's tier B guys that could very well outperform him.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I'm more or less kind of going with the hot hand and the fact that this isn't a very long golf course.
I could see him top 20, but for that price tag, that's really scary for someone that's probably top 20 at the max.
Yeah.
So, I like him. He's probably a good single bet kind of guy.
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you my two guys. He played well last week. Troy Merritt, 10,500. He's made 17 out of 27 cuts this year. He's just a roller coaster of a golfer. I mean, I don't really know when he ever really shows up. There doesn't seem to be any kind of trend to, like, if he likes Poland, if he likes bent, if it's like long courses, short courses. There's really no trend with this guy. So if he's just playing well, I think he just plays well there. If he's striking the ball well, he's putting well, he's going to play well. And obviously that's very of a roller coaster with him lately. He hung in that playoff for a long time. It was a six-hole playoff, or a five-hole, whichever one.
Yeah.
But for someone to hang in there for that long, I mean, you're clearly playing well, and you got to the playoff in general. So that's obviously another thing to say. And he's had really other good finishes this year as well. I think Troy Merritt could possibly continue his very well playing, or very good playing, to this week. He's 10,500, which is also a very scary player, in my opinion. I feel like top 10 could be his absolute best here, maybe. I don't know. When I look at Troy Merritt, I can 100% see him holding up something that says John Deere on it. So maybe maybe
good
that'll
boy.
Work. But I like him this week. Again, he might be more of a single bet guy for me, but he's someone to look at. Last tier A guy, and usually people say last but not least, but this is definitely least, Aaron Wise. Who, good course history here. A lot of different finishes. Good top 20 finishes here. Aaron Wise, 10,300. 13 out of 19 cuts this year. Has got a couple of top 10s under his belt this year. Which, if you look at Aaron Wise's history, not common at all. I think Aaron Wise, honestly, it's so hard to find this information, but I think Aaron Wise is probably close to battling for his tour card. And he's having a good season. So he seems to play well on shorter courses. I could see this place being a good place for him. I think Aaron Wise is almost, I would probably almost say a lock in the top 25 this week. Which I'm willing to throw the dice on that.
Fair enough.
There's my tier A. None of those guys I'd probably ever think would really be that high in tier A. But here we are.
Well, literally you only have like two guys in the top 30 of the world golf ranking in this event. You got to throw somebody up there.
Yeah. All right, let's talk tier B. How many guys you got?
I have three.
Okay. I'll give you one. Kyle Stanley, my first one. 9,900. Really, the only reason why he has some good course history, he is an 18th here. But the main reason is because Kyle Stanley, to my knowledge, for a long time has been a very inconsistent golfer. But he's made his last six cuts, so he's clearly doing something correct in recent history.
Yeah.
So the only reason I picked him this week is because he has some good course history here. And he's obviously on a roll making six cuts, so why not? Let's make it seven. It's my only reasoning behind it.
Yeah. And I mean, you look at his rounds, they're really not as like back and forth as I feel like, you know, you see sometimes with players that I feel like are, you know, kind of in his caliber. You know, you'd have like four over to start the round, and then all of a sudden they come back with a six under, and then they shoot like one over for the final two. Yeah. His is just like two under, three under, three under, even, exactly. Even, two under, one. I mean, like
he's doing well.
Yeah, there's no like extremes on one side or the other.
Exactly. No, I think Kyle Stanley has figured out something recently, and it's obviously working for him. I think he'll continue. I think he'll make the cut this week. I could see a top 30 out of him.
I like that pick.
Yeah. Your pick.
So, I don't think I've ever played this guy before. I'm probably going to say this a lot, actually, throughout this episode.
Yeah, probably.
But for me, it's Hank Lebioda, 9,700. This pick's basically me kind of just going with the hot hand. Because he's only been on tour, I think, since 2019, and he missed the cut here.
Uh-huh.
But with being so fresh on tour, and you know, you play this event, your rookie season, you miss the cut, whatever.
Yeah.
But he's finished – he's got back-to-back top fives in his last two starts.
Wow.
He finished tied fourth last week and tied fifth at the Travelers. And then going
Something's
back –
clicking.
Do what?
Something's clicking for him.
Yeah, obviously. And then going back a couple more weeks at the AT&T Byron Nelson, he finished tied 17th.
Nice.
So he's on a decent, good, you know, decently good stretch of golf right now.
Yeah.
Stats wise, he's 24th in greens and reg, 37th in strokes gained putting, and 48th in strokes gained approach.
Not the worst.
No, I think
a lot worse guys.
Yeah.
In the field with that.
I mean, I could definitely see a top 20. I know it doesn't seem like we're very confident in any guy we pick, but it's just like
we're
really
confident
just
in the people
don't
that
know.
Yeah, like. We think these guys are going to make the cuts and stuff, but oh, this is a weird week.
I don't think I see him going three straight top fives.
That'd be cool.
But, I mean, I don't – maybe. I don't know. This field's definitely a lot weaker than the Rocket Mortgage last week and the Traveler, so.
Agreed. That's true. The last 2 weeks have been pretty packed fields, and he's been up there.
Maybe he just wins.
Maybe he could just take it home. What's his name again?
Hank Lebioda.
All right. All right, well, here's one of my guys, 9,800. Really good course history here. I could tell you about all nine of the times he's played, but all of them are good, so I'll just tell you that. Ryan Moore, who has done pretty much nothing this season.
As he does every season.
Pretty much. Ryan Moore always seems to come out on top somewhere. I honestly, just based off how good his course history here is, by the like the nine times that he has played here, and involving that, he's making some cuts. He's not playing bad. He's not playing good.
No, he's 50 for about 50% made cut rate.
Yeah, I see Ryan Moore coming out with probably a top 30.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. I think dropping my phone here. I see Ryan Moore top 30. It's so hard to see it. He's like when we've watched him throughout this year, there's some times where he's leading the golf tournament in the second round. But then in the third round, the fourth round, there is some kind of collapse somewhere. And he's not a big fan of Saturdays. I was looking at it earlier, and the best Saturday he's had this year in a golf tournament, in the cut he's made, is one under. It's his very best Saturday. And it's his worst one is like 8 over. So a little scurry, but I see Ryan Moore coming in at top 30 at his best. What do you got?
So, this guy.
This guy.
You just said Ryan Moore doesn't really like Saturdays.
Oh, God.
Well, this guy doesn't like Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. But he loves him some Thursday rounds. It's Patrick Rogers.
Oh, million Grillo?
He's $9,300. If PJ Tour events were only 18 holes, Patrick would literally be the number one player in the world.
Noted.
I mean, literally, he is on the first page of every leaderboard, it feels like, every single week after the first round, and then you literally don't hear about him for the rest of the event.
What's his name again?
Patrick Rogers.
Patrick Rogers. Okay, let's hear it.
Like, Travelers shot 5 under the first round.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure he was either leading or, like, one back. Palmetto Championship at Congaree, 4 under after the first round. I'm pretty sure that was hanging around the lead also. The Wells Fargo was 6 under through 2 rounds. Pretty sure that was, you know.
Yeah, I was definitely hanging in there.
Yeah, I'm just taking a stab at, you know, those off the top of my head. But literally, like, after that, it just completely goes downhill. But, like I said, I don't know what happens to him after the first round. But if he can somehow figure it out, he's going to win.
Yeah.
Like, if he can just put, you know, carry on for his momentum through from Thursday's rounds and carry it through the entire week, he's going to be somebody to watch out for at some point.
Maybe you can bet on him, Patrick Rogers, first round leader this week.
That might actually be a
95% of the time first round leader bets are plus 5,000 or more.
Yeah, they're usually really high.
So this guy might be like plus like 9,000.
And he finished second here in 2017, which honestly might be his best finish.
Daddy needs some money. Tour. So I'm placing that bet. Patrick Rogers, first round leader, I'll place the bet.
And the last bullet point, I literally have written, his stats suck, so don't even bother. Because they are awful. Like, outside of the top 100 in literally everything. But, I mean, you play one out of good, you know, one round out of four good, and the rest are just...
Yeah, well, no, you're bad.
Complete butt, so...
Sorry, but you're not good. Sorry, that's mean.
But he is on a run of 4 straight made cuts, so...
There you go. Nice. All right, let's talk. I know you got my last guy, so I'll jump to this one. Knoxville native, Mr. Stallings, Mr. Scott Stallings, 9,100. Mr. Stallings, you are due for a win, and it is going to be this week. I hope everybody local here is listening to this one, because Scott, watch out for Stallings this week. I 110% could see Stallings lifting up the trophy at the end of this week. His season's been kind of up and down, but when he has it together, it's good. Really good.
Yeah.
And just basing off some times earlier, he was tied 43rd at the Wells Fargo, which that's a big tournament to just make the cut in for him. And he turned around the next week and went to the AT&T Byron Nelson to finish third. Shot a 9 under on Saturday. 9. That's huge. So this past week, Rocket Mortgage Classic, he finished tied 25th. I think with a field as weak as this and with a course that he does have good course history at, he has multiple top 20s here. I 110% believe Scott Stallings is going to be a top 10 and possibly even a win this week. I think I literally, in my notes, I wrote all that stuff I just said, but then I wrote, W, baby. I think he might do it. I really do.
It's about time for somebody from Knoxville to be back in the spotlight on tour. It's been a hot minute.
It's about time somebody gets a dub, because Peter ain't getting a dub. Scott hasn't gotten a dub. Wes Roach isn't getting a dub. Jonathan Hodge, he's not around.
No.
I'm just naming all you guys. I'm calling all you guys out. We got tweeted at tonight. What'd you say? All right, so give us the guy we both agree on.
All right. If you've been watching golf for the last 20 years.
30.
All right, 30 years.
30 years.
You know who this man is.
Uh-huh.
He is the Ryder Cup captain for the USA team this year. Steve Stricker at $9,000.
He is
the king of the John Deere Classic.
He's a dirty dog.
He is the absolute king. I'm pretty sure he has more wins at this event than anybody on tour.
Yep.
It's like five or six times or something crazy. Like,
you know, it's
Tiger-esque.
It's so funny because he has so many wins here. And I would honestly say out of every person I've talked about, he is probably the second or third most person I think that's going to win this golf tournament.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. With his course history, I don't have any problem throwing him on a lineup.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you look, you know, because he's in his 50s now. He plays a good amount on the Champions Tour.
It's not just the fact that he's won six times here. It's the fact that he's also killing it this season. Like what you're
on
about
both
to say.
Tours.
Exactly.
He's 6-for-9 on made cuts this season with a tied fourth at the Waste Management, which is a strong field, and a tied 13th at Honda, which I think is a stronger field than what we got this week.
Yeah.
And just going back a couple of weeks ago, he's coming off a win at the Senior Players Championship, which was a major.
Yep.
So,
and it's not, and he's also been in contention multiple times this year, just he hasn't quite fully gotten it done.
Right.
Like, you know, he was in contention at the PGA Championship. Going into Sunday, he was only one over going on Sunday. That was contending still. Not necessarily for straight up W. That was contending.
Yeah.
And it was the same for some other tournaments we have. I mean, he's playing very well. Like,
yeah.
He's at 6 out of 9 cuts. He is old, and he knows very well what tournaments he can and can't compete in. And he's won here like 7, 8, 9, whatever times.
Yeah.
I really like Steve Stricker this week. He honestly might win. He might. And that would be awesome. Yeah. Let's see the American Ryder Cup captain win. That'd be awesome. But
he might. I mean, he. Do you think he has the gumption to try to be a playing captain?
I don't know. Or do you think
he's kind of like past that point to where he's just like, all right, I'm gonna let these young guys have it.
I feel like if he got a W this week, then I think he's kind of forced. He's got to go in there. Steve Stricker currently. I'm just looking it up right now. Steve Stricker's plus 6,000 to win. Currently, he's plus 1,200 for a top five. Which now that could be it right there.
Yeah, that might be a ticket.
Steve Stricker has better odds to win than Scott Stallings does. Scott Stallings is plus 7,000.
I don't know if I'm really that surprised.
I'm a little bit. I like Steve Stricker a lot this week. I almost feel like the top five might be a lock.
I mean, he did it in 2017. That's his most recent, you know, high finish here.
Uh-huh.
And he wasn't no spring chicken then either.
No, he was not. Spring chicken. Knoxville, Tennessee, everybody. Yeah, I like him. Let's move on. Tier C. How many guys you got?
One.
One?
Yeah, one.
All right, I got three. And
it just gets so bad after Tier B. Like,
I'm not going to lie. Two of these guys, I'm not super confident about. Not going to lie. All right. Enough me blabbing. Keith Mitchell, 8,900. 11 out of 21 cuts. Good course history here. A couple top 10s behind his belt. Keith Mitchell is known for liking Bermuda, so it's kind of interesting to see him playing so well on a bent green course. But I think that Keith Mitchell just embraces his inner countryside when he sees John Deere Classic. And he just plays well here. I'd love to give you more justification than that, but I can't. He's got good course history here. He's having a decent season. There's not too much. He's probably the least confident person I picked this week, in all honesty.
Fair enough.
Then I'm going to move on to Henrik Norlander, who's 8,800. Killed it in the beginning of the season. He was having a really good season. He had very good finishes, a couple top tens earlier. And then he literally dropped off the face of the earth for about 3 months.
Yeah.
He hasn't done a single thing in a hot minute. Course history here, pretty much none. I couldn't find him. But he has. The only reason I'm looking at him, like I said, killed it in the beginning of the year. Like I said, a 12th, 2nd, and a 22nd, and 26th. Those are his four in the beginning of the year. Then he went about 3 months with absolutely nothing. And then the last three tournaments he's played in, he's made the cut, all three. So I think literally the only reason I'm picking him is because I think Henrik Norlander is going to make you the cut, and he's going to get you a top 40. And for $8,800, I would pay that price for a top 40.
Yeah.
So there's my reason behind him. He's definitely built up some more confidence recently. I could see him carrying it into this week. Your turn.
So my one and only trooper. Somebody you were actually decently fond of earlier in the year. It's Nick Taylor.
I picked a different Canadian.
8,700. If you're looking for a cut maker, Nick Taylor's been doing a pretty decent job of that the last couple of months. Yes. He's made five of his last six cut. And he's got decent course history. Finished tied 6th in 2019 and tied 34th in 2018. So, yeah, that's Nick Taylor.
Yeah, good explanation. Let me tell you about his cousin, Roger Sloan. He's also a Canadian. Roger Sloan, 8,700. 12 out of 20 cuts this year. Tied 10th last year. There you go.
Done.
I'm sorry. We usually go really in depth with this, but I mean, this week is a joke.
If somebody's listening to our podcast for the first time this week, he's like, these guys really think they're just going to turn on a camera or turn on a microphone and just
name people?
Yeah. Just throw out names?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I'm more confident in my tier D guys than I am my tier C guys. I like my Henrik Norlander pick this week. And Roger Sloan, he has good course history here. He's having an okay season. I think he can make the cut as well. But this is just such a weird week. It's very scary. You gotta pick your cards very carefully here.
Right. And for me especially, like, you know, even the really strong of, you know, fields with my, you know, the way I approach this and looking up all the stats and stuff, you can still find some nuggets,
yeah,
in tier C and tier D on a strong event.
This whole field is, but not like, nuggets. They're all pebbles.
Yeah.
I mean, this is – I'm sorry, but this is just not a strong field, so it's tough. But enough excuses. Tier D, I got two guys.
I got one.
And both of them are going to blow your mind. I'll start with my cheapest one. Peter Malnati.
Shocker.
I pick him every week. He misses a cut every week. But he finally made a cut 2 weeks ago.
Peter Malnati's like your prayer player. Yes. You just, well, like, every week before your starts, like, dear baby Jesus. just let Peter Malnati just make the cut. Please. Just let him do something.
He made the cut at the Travelers. And I think Peter's starting to play a little bit better. If you look at his rounds out of his last six tournaments, let's say, his first day in his last six tournaments was 6-over, 4-over, 9-over, 4-over, 2-under, 2-over. So yeah, the last two tournaments, he's played significantly better in the first round. And like I said, 2-over was last week, which is still two strokes better than what he hit. Let me rephrase that. Seven strokes better than what he has done. And then the second round has been up and down, even 1-under, 5-over, 4, even then 4-over. I think if Peter, I don't know. I don't know what the scores are going to look like this year. I think they're going to be pretty low. But I think Peter's maybe he's starting to get together a little bit. And I think he's just going to make you the cut. And if a tier D guy making the cut, that's about all you can ask for usually. You try to find the diamond in the rough, but it's very hard. And maybe it's Peter. Maybe I'm right. But I don't know. Give me your spiel.
So, we basically covered every – so far, we've covered every Tennessee player.
Wes Roach? Me too.
We got Keith Mitchell, who's from Chattanooga.
Yeah.
We got Scott Stallings, who's from Oak Ridge. We got Peter Malnati, that's from Jefferson City. And we got Russ Roach from old Knoxville, Tennessee.
I'm right here.
I may kind of be grasping at straws a little bit with this one, but...
Oh, no, you are.
But technically, he's been one of the most consistent guys in this tier.
Five out of eight cuts.
He's only played in eight events.
It's because he doesn't have a full card.
Oh, okay.
He is on very minimal status.
Okay.
But that's a great sign for someone in his situation. He's on extremely minimal status, and he's made five out of eight cuts. He's made every
cut. His last five cuts, actually.
Yeah, last five cuts, and all those cuts were this year.
Yeah.
His three missed cuts were back in October or November of last year.
Okay.
So he's having a good year. And for someone that is not full status, that's impressive.
And you go back to 2019, he finished tied 10th here.
Yes. I think Wes Roach is the diamond in the rough this week. 7,400. I am honestly going to go out on a limb and say he's probably guaranteed going to make you the cut, I personally think. And he might honestly come out there and get you a top 30. He might. He had a 13th at the Puerto Rico Open, which was a very weak field. Not as weak as this, but it was very weak.
True.
And then, but if you're also looking, I would say this week is very comparable to the Palmetto, I would say. Pretty weak field. The Tier A guy is kind of stronger, but everyone else, very low. And the Palmetto, he was leading the Palmetto after the first day. I remember that.
Yeah.
Shot 7-under on the first day. Now, he just blew up on the second day and shot 6-over.
Yeah, round two was ugly.
Yeah, but he was leading at one point, and I'm sure that got to his head, probably. He probably, I don't know, with all we know, he probably got paired to, like, Dustin Johnson or something like that. But I 100% think Wes Roach will make the cut. I honestly could probably see top 30 or 40 at his best. But I think he's definitely a cut maker this week, and I will definitely put a bet on him for probably top 40 this week.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. That's it. That's all we got. Tomorrow's episode's a maybe. We don't know yet. Todd and I are both very busy people nowadays. I'm trying to adjust to a new job, and Todd and I's schedules are going to be...
not linking up at the moment.
Yeah, at the moment, they're literally opposite. But maybe
this is the longest amount of time I've spent with Jackson in a week.
Yes. Yes. I was out of town for 3 days, and I was caddying for 4. So, bada bing, bada boom. All right, that's it. Hopefully, we'll have an episode tomorrow. If not, we'll see you guys the next week for the Open. But I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Hope you guys enjoy our absolute pristine picks this week. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. I mean,
might as well just write a check about it. Exactly. Just take it to the bank.
Hand me a blank check, and I'll write the number down, what you owe me for me telling you this. But, all right, enough quoting. All right, see you guys next week or tomorrow. We'll see. Bye.